Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Patriots Training Camp Recap Podcast for day 19 of Patriots Training Camp. I'm Alex Barth from 98.5, the Sports Hub. Today was the final open practice of Patriots Training Camp. They will have a session on Friday, but that is closed to the media. So for all intents and purposes, this wraps up our training camp coverage, and there's no way I'd want to end it rather than the way we started it. And that's with Bob Soucy joining me on the podcast. I think this is episode 3, maybe 4 for Bob. But thank you again very much, Bob, for coming on and joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex. It was an honor to open and now certainly an honor to close the training camp editions of the podcast, which I look forward to continuing in the future. You've had a lot of great guests with a lot of insight on a daily basis between that first appearance by yours truly and this one. So I'll just try to live up to the standard that they've all established.
I think you'll do okay. And let's just start. You know, I normally try to keep this day to day, and we'll get into a little bit what we saw today, but it's hard on a day like today not to sort of look back on everything. Quarterbacks aside, you know, it was a quick 19 days and it was a long 19 days, all kind of in one. What are you walking away from it all thinking about this team?
Well, a couple of things. And you know, you look back to the spring and we had our eyes on some young players who seemingly were poised to emerge in their second or third year in particular. And as you touched on in your video report after today's final joint practice against the Giants, Josh Uche, for example, closed on a very positive note. And I think, you know, his improvement, his potential for this team fits very nicely in a group of defenders that I think represent a strength of this team. We thought going into training camp that the Patriots had done a lot to address the front seven. I still feel that way. And you and I have talked periodically during the course of training camp about the back end of the defense with some concerns. Right. And here we are today in the wake of a practice in which Jonathan Jones was injured. And shortly after the Patriots acquired a cornerback from the Baltimore Ravens for future draft considerations, draft picks, you know, it seems like that area is still very much top of mind for Bill Belichick and his staff that they need to address between today and September 12th. And then I think offensively, again, a lot of the strengths that we perceived coming out of the spring, the offensive line, the running back group have held up as strengths of this team. And then some areas where we thought the Patriots, you know, might have some issues. Wide receiver, for example, that fourth wide receiver. And maybe you could even say, anybody not named Jacoby Myers right now, for me, is a bit of a concern, frankly. As good at times as Nelson Aguilar has been getting behind the defense, getting past coverage, as good as Kendrick Bourne has been at times, I still think there are some concerns in particular with that group, even with those guys, whereas Jacoby Myers really seems to be the one steady receiver you can count on day in, day out of not only getting open, but making the catch. And then beyond, you know, those particular areas of strength outside of the receiver group. You know, I look at the depth on the offensive line and the battle for the tackle spot, the tight end group, certainly a strength on paper going into the summer, but Hunter Henry's been banged up going forward. How many do they keep? You know, what are they going to get out of that group? Certainly Johnny Smith has been impressive at times, but we really haven't seen them have a big impact, I think, in the preseason or in the joint practices, in part because of the injuries.
Yeah, it kind of everything you just said. And it's funny, I was thinking about this driving home. Sometimes you go into camp and you come out the other side and it's like two different teams, right? You know, you think you know what's going on and then different players emerge, different players slide, there's injuries and you're looking at a whole new picture. There were some minor changes throughout camp, but you know, the overall picture of this team, I feel like has been relatively steady. And some people might hear that and think that's a bad thing. How do you go through camp and nothing changes? I almost look at that. I do look at that as a positive, because I feel like last year's Patriots, and given the situation, this wasn't necessarily unexpected, but last year's Patriots, I felt like often were searching for their identity. They never had a true identity. They never had those one or two things they could lean on to win a game when they really needed to. And I think we know what the identity of this team is. And I think it's a very strong identity. They're both sides of the football. They're going to win up front. They're going to win physically. And I think that's great. I think that's what Bill Belichick wants his team to look like. I think that that is a sustainable way to win in the modern NFL. I think we've kind of turned the corner where you have to be this aerobatic passing attack to win. And yeah, I just, I nothing really changed for me. And I think that's a good thing. I think that they have their identity, they have their foundation. And that says a lot given where they were at the end of last season.
Yeah, again, setting the quarterback position aside, putting that on a shelf for the moment. I think back to several years ago when Nick Caserio talked to us around the time of the draft. It might have even been a pre-draft press conference. And he said, essentially, we feel really good about the team we have right now, that we could go into September and compete with this team. And I may be mistaken, but I believe that was one of the Super Bowl teams in that span of 5 years when the Patriots did so well atop the AFC in this second iteration of the dynasty. And I kind of feel like this particular group this year is very similar. And as you explained, during training camp, not a lot changed our perceptions of this team coming out of the spring, save for, again, maybe the quarterback situation. Right. So to me, that is a good thing because they had made so many offseason moves to address deficiencies. And I do believe when you go into a training camp and you have a lot of jobs that are open, a lot of questions that are unresolved, then in all likelihood, you're a team that not only is coming off a bad year, but you're a team that's really in a rebuilding mode. The Patriots are coming off a disappointing year, bad by their standards, but by no means were they a team going into this summer that were in a rebuilding phase.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But let's now take those quarterbacks off the shelf, like you said, on the shelf. Let's take them off the shelf. Let's put them in the spotlight here because we have to. What we saw today, I thought was a good snapshot of where the quarterback situation stands heading into this final preseason game. Cam Newton made his return. He got, it was whatever you want to call it, scrimmage, simulated game format, whatever, to practice. Patriots kicked off. Giants went 3 and out. Patriots offense comes on the field. They're led by Cam Newton. He gets one drive, goes 4 for 6. Damian Harris punches it in, touchdown. The rest of the way, it was Mac Jones. He had 3 drives. One ends with an interception. 2 more ended with touchdowns. He was 10 of 21 throwing the ball. He got burned by drops a little bit, but there you had it. Cam Newton was the starter, but they're giving Mac Jones every chance to learn and grow and get ready so they can make that switch as soon as they need to. That's where I feel the quarterback situation's at right now. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was interesting, the order today, but I didn't think it was surprising. To me, even though Cam had missed the last 3 days of practice, you know, I had a couple of different thoughts related to him taking the first snaps today and even going through the early portion of practice, that walkthrough portion with the number one offensive line per se. Number one, I think when Bill Belichick makes the move, if he does name Mac Jones his starting quarterback, or if he reasserts, you know, what he has said before, that Cam Newton has indeed done enough to hold on to his position and establish his position as the starter, he's going to do it on his timetable and nobody else's. Mac had a great day yesterday by virtually every account of reporters who were there. And if there were any exceptions to that, people felt he had a very good day. So I think after coming off of that, I wasn't surprised that, you know, in Cam's case, he was the guy who was up first rather than Mac. I also think, too, that, you know, any uncertainty, any ambiguity is good for their first opponent, the Miami Dolphins, between now and the opening days. I don't think Bill Belichick's going to want to make a move if he's going to commit to Mac Jones, and I'm not saying that he is, before he absolutely has to try to make Brian Flores and the Dolphins down the road. And this may be me overthinking it, Alex. You know, I tend to do that, particularly when you cover the Patriots. I think it's a trap that one can fall into, and I certainly fall into it all the time with virtually everything around this team.
I do too.
But you know, I do think that, you know, that might have been a very distant factor. But I think more than anything, it's you know, Bill again not wanting to make a declaration by putting Mac in the leadoff spot, plus the fact that Mac has had so many reps the last few days with Cam out of practice. So I wasn't really, taken strongly by the fact that Cam was out there reading into it as a sign of September 12th or what we're going to see. I do think, though, that the disproportionate number of reps raises a question about Sunday night and the preseason finale and the use of those two quarterbacks. And I wonder, too, how much it affected Mac today. I asked him about his health, how he felt after practice. And I think what he heard was a question about the weather and the effects of the heat. What I was asking or trying to ask essentially, because he had made a point with Cam's return that it gives you more throwers in camp. Right. And as we know, starting on Monday, he had the majority of snaps. And I think Tom Curran in his column counted roughly a couple hundred yesterday between warm-up throws and all the competitive reps. And over the course of the 3 days, about 500 throws for Mac Jones. So I just wondered today if some of the throws that we saw behind receivers, even slightly behind them, might have been, you know, the residual effects of just so much work the last few days. And he had that long, long drive, as you alluded to, that was delayed by timeouts, penalties. There was an interception, of course, for early in that sequence for Jones as well.
Yeah, and he had some drops too, which extended that. And I want to get into that in a second here, but just first, real quick, putting Cam Newton aside, if Mac Jones is the starter week one or had to start week one, from what you've seen, do you think they can be competitive with Mac Jones right away as a starting quarterback?
I do. I do think that they can be competitive. And you know why? Because I hear it from other players. I thought Brian Hoyer today had some pretty telling remarks regarding Mac, and Brian even used the word his capacity when talking about the system. And the Patriots in their system ask more of their quarterbacks than most teams. I read Ryan Fitzpatrick recently saying that he experienced that in the so-called Patriots system when he was in Houston. Everything runs through the quarterback. You control the line of scrimmage, essentially. You identify the defense, the front, the coverage. You set the protections. You make the line of scrimmage pre-snap adjustments. You are at the controls as the quarterback, and everything funnels through you. And Brian talked about that today, that this system, the Patriots put more on their quarterbacks. He's played for eight teams, and he's been in the system with Houston and New England, of course, under Bill O'Brien, but he's been elsewhere too. And he said, you know, this team asks more of its quarterback than most. And he has been, you know, very impressed with Mac Jones' capacity to learn. And Brian said, you know, he asked a lot of great questions. And, you know, I'll say, you got it. And he'll nod his head and say, yeah, I got it. I got it. And sure enough, he does. He goes out there and he'll make a call. And I'll think to myself, there's no way I would have made the call, that kind of call as a rookie, given the confidence and the ability to communicate it to your teammates, because you not only have to identify what you need to do, but you have to be able to relay that to your teammates. And I thought that was a pretty remarkable statement by Brian, given his experience, so much of it, of course, with the Patriots behind you know who. Now right. Watching young Mac Jones as a rookie do those things. And I think that was those, you know, the numbers aside, to me, that was what was most impressive about Mac's practice on Wednesday. He was at the controls. He was in the cockpit of that offense, and he was in rhythm, and he was making the calls and the checks. He was identifying the Mike defender and setting the protections. And it flowed. The offense responded well. And to me, that was more impressive than anything else.
And there was another quote. Was it yesterday or Tuesday from Matthew Slater, where Slater was asked about Jones, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but it, you know, Matthew Slater is not a guy who's going to BS, right? He's not going to say every word he says. He picks his words very carefully. Every word he says has meaning. And he was over the top glowing about Mac Jones. And if Mac Jones is good in Slater's book, he's good in my book. I'll put it that way. I trust what Matthew Slater has to say, especially from a, you know, character observation point of view. I think he's got a very keen eye for the human condition. So, yeah, it seems like Mac Jones has kind of come in and established himself in that not just on the field, but in the locker room.
Yeah, I agree. James White, in fact, said as well, you know, he has command of the huddle now.
Right.
You see the way he looks at you in the huddle. And I remember Troy Brown, when I asked him once in a Q&A, when did you know that you know who was ready?
Right.
He said, you know, you could tell, you look into someone's eyes. And when they step into that huddle, you just can sense it. And I think in Matt's case, he's had a similar effect, particularly on the veterans. And when we talk about Matthew Slater and James White, we're talking about, you know, pillars in that locker room in terms of the Patriots culture. But also just, you know, in James's case, somebody with the system. He's been in it since 2014. He's one of the most experienced players the Patriots have overall. And if you look on the offensive side of the ball, he is the most experienced, frankly. So to me, that's, you know, again, a remarkable testimony to what I think the team collectively thinks of Mac Jones. And the other point I would make too about it, Alex, is that we saw today a long series. He struggled at times. And Ryan touched on this too. You know, this defense is much different than the defense they faced last week against Philadelphia. And they saw fronts today that they hadn't prepared for. I think Patrick Graham and the Giants tossed some things at Mac and the Pats and Cam too. And Mac talked about the safeties, for example, some of the things the Giants did with the safeties, including, you know, a counter to what the Patriots were doing that produced the Logan Ryan interception. And I thought that, you know, what was interesting about it's a long series. Mac struggled early, but as has been his tendency, by the time the drive ended, he started to find a little bit of a rhythm. Completed a pass to Kendrick Bourne, sliding up, sliding left, throwing it to the back of the end zone for the touchdown. Then there was the design boot right on the two-point conversion with a throw to Jacoby Myers. And there's no doubt on September 12th that Brian Flores is going to throw a lot at either quarterback.
Right.
And in a game, you're going to have series-to-series adjustments that you're going to be making with Josh McDaniels. And we see Mac, when he has those opportunities, implement what he's being told on the sideline out there in the huddle and overcome those hiccups. And I think we even saw it today a little bit amid what was a really trying drive. And you mentioned the receivers not helping him out in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I think another example of that is just in the preseason. The reason that I think they play Mac into the third quarter is he gets that experience of going in at halftime, making the halftime adjustments, coming back out. And two of his three best drives of the preseason, there was the first one against the Eagles where he had like the third and 18. And that was late in the second quarter. But besides that, his two best drives were those first drives out of the third quarter. So you see he has a knack for making those adjustments. But let's talk about the receivers. Four drops today. It feels like the drops have been more of a problem as we've gone on throughout the summer. You're dealing with N'Keal Harry being injured. Hunter Henry still in the red non-contact jersey. Do they need to bring in maybe another pass catcher, whether it's a wide receiver or tight end, just to start the season? Or do they have to carry somebody, whether it's Christian Wilkerson, Trey Nixon, Matt Lacoste, Kalei Waring, who they claimed off waivers? Are they going to have to carry somebody they weren't planning on carrying early in the season just to help get this group going?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think Lacoste is certainly an option if he's healthy enough
right,
to be the fourth tight end for this team, or maybe even the third tight end with Devin Asiasi cast in the fourth tight end role. Because I think, at least in Matt's case, he's pretty reliable when he's out there in terms of his pass catching. He also has a good understanding of the offense, it seems. He's a good route runner at the position. I think they liked him maybe more than the public's perception of him a couple of years ago. And part of the problem for him, as we know, is that he's just been injury prone as a Patriot. Right now, he's on the sideline for who knows how long, dealing with the effects of the hit in Philadelphia by Derek Barnett last week. But I do think that they need some help there. And I think there were a couple of guys that had opportunities in recent days to really elevate their status. And I don't necessarily think that they have done that. I think, you know, you look at Christian Wilkerson, to me, I think he's a developmental player. There's still a lot to like about him, but I don't know if you're going to be able to trust him in the game because of the hands and the inconsistency there. And I thought the last couple of days against the Giants, he got a fair amount of reps and didn't necessarily have the kind of practices that he was certainly looking for.
Right. Didn't pop. Yeah. It didn't pop.
You know, and if Gunnar Olszewski was going to have a role, and he might have to play sometimes in you know, just to spell Myers in the slot, because you only can carry so many receivers. He's going to be on the team as a returner, we presume. I thought he had some disappointing episodes the last few days, drops or not, you know, beating a defender to the spot on a route. And, you know, his frustration was pretty obvious at the end of practice a couple of days ago. And I thought today, you know, Mac Jones delivered a beautiful throw and Gunner had it hit the ground. The ball came out, and it's kind of play that, you know, he's just got to make.
Right. I thought that was the most costly drop of the day, I think. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just say, and I didn't even mention Aguilar and Bourne. I think there's still some concerns with those guys. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think it's interesting with Gunner because, like I said, somebody's going to have to be that fourth wide receiver without N'Keal Harry. And you'd like to think it could be Gunner because he's going to make the team anyway. He's had a really interesting week where there's been moments where I think he's looked as good as he has in camp. He beat J.C. Jackson on an inside slant in the red zone on Monday. And then, you know, the drop today, I thought Monday and Wednesday, he looked as good as he has. And then Tuesday and Thursday, he looked as rough as he has. So interesting for him. Wilkerson, you know, he just hasn't popped. He reminds me a little bit of, was it Riley McCarron a few years ago, who was kind of a similar guy, also wore 17, kind of came on strong early in the preseason, faded a little bit. They kept him to return punts, And then he ended up making the team in the first game of the year. He muffs a punt and fumbled the ball on a reception. And I don't think he's been on an NFL roster since. So, you know, I do still like Wilkerson. Maybe next year, you know, let him develop a year behind the scenes and then see what he looks like. But I would agree with that real quick here, because I know we're up against it, but I do want to ask you, what did you make of the Sean Wade trade today?
Well, I think they need a depth at cornerback. And we don't know, as you and I speak, about the status of Jonathan Jones. I thought they needed help with the cornerback position before Jonathan was injured last week in Philadelphia. And even before Miles Bryant was shaken up against Washington in the preseason opener, there is still uncertainty about Stephon Gilmore today. We'll see how long, you know, his situation remains unresolved. But to have Jones get banged up in consecutive weeks of joint practices, to have, you know, I think a question, as you and I have discussed on a previous podcast, about who replaces the number of snaps that you got out of Jason Forty last year, is that hybrid between cornerback and safety. And really over the last 3 years is primarily a cornerback. So I think that the way trade was one made out of necessity, probably more from a depth standpoint than any kind of insurance for, say, Stephon Gilmore, if there's no resolution to his situation sooner rather than later. And I just want to quickly add, like, when we look at these teams and joint practices, you often wonder, like, what kind of player out there might appeal to Bill Belichick?
Right.
And one of the guys who caught my eyes for the Giants, because they've had a lot of problems with their frontline receivers not being on the field, was Dante Pettis.
Yeah.
For the Giants. Caught a lot of balls today. Last couple of days.
Yeah.
And he was with San Francisco, second round draft pick out of Washington, a good punt returner coming out of college, who really never lived up, even remotely approached really what I think the Niners had hoped he would. And he's been a guy the last couple of years. I thought, you know, maybe that's the kind of bargain barrel player the Patriots could get that might be able to help them a bit. And I just wonder, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, has there been anybody from Philadelphia or New York in these joint practices who they may identify and say, this is a guy that if we can get him, can help us in that extra wide receiver position because of their, I think, again, the lack of consistency, their reliability.
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually been asking people after the joint practices about that, because we know, maybe not immediately, but Bill Belichick likes to add players he faces in joint practices. For me, and I don't know that he's gettable right now, but Josh Jackson is a corner. You talk about the cornerback depth that's on the Giants, and they just traded for him last week from the Packers. The Giants did. So I don't know that he comes in this year, but with Gilmore and JC Jackson being in the last year of their contracts, you look down the road, Josh Jackson, big physical Big Ten corner, their kind of guy. I thought he looked pretty good this week or these last 2 days. So always good to keep an eye on. I think Pettis too, if he's somebody, I don't know where he fits on the Giants depth chart. They do actually have some sneaky depth at the wide receiver position. If he's maybe a guy that, I don't think they'd cut him, but maybe, you know, if you can give him a player they need, they could probably part ways with Pettis to help another element to their depth chart. So I do think he is kind, not necessarily a Patriots fit in the sense that he's the kind of guy they traditionally go after.
Right. Exactly.
But he's a fit in the sense that he's not the kind of guy they traditionally go after. And he kind of adds something to the offense they're lacking, especially with N'Keal Harry banged up right now.
Yeah. And again, I, you know, it's really more or less me at the moment kind of spitballing, but like, I think that there's going to be a handful of players like him who are going to be, you know, either, you know, the last receiver on their depth chart or are going to be available. And I think last year we didn't see much roster movement after the initial cutdown date. A lot of that was related obviously to the COVID situation. Right. And I think this year we may not see as much as we would have seen in 2018 or 2019, but I think you can bet on and safely bet on more roster movement, players going from one team to another, claimed off waivers, than we saw last year. So I think that there will be players who will be made available, especially with the 2 week window.
Right.
Teams are going to have a little more time to massage their roster, make the initial cut, and then add another player or two, and then even add another player to the following. We've seen Bill Belichick do that on short weeks with multiple players. I think back to the spring or the summer of 2017, right on the doorstep of the season, they made a number of moves that week.
Was that the year they added two receivers like the day after cuts and neither one played? It was Amara Darboh was one from Michigan, and I can't remember who the other one is off the top of my head. He played for the Jets at one point too. Before we wrap it up here, Bob, because we don't need to, nobody cares about the answer to that question. Tweet it at me at Real Alex Barth. Before we go there, training camp is over. The preseason is not. One more game Sunday in New York. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like with the new 3-game format, but just kind of in general, what are you looking for? Who are you looking for in that game?
Yeah, Alex, I think, you know, we talk about players on the fringe, bubble players all the time during the final days of training camp in the preseason. And I wonder about, for example, on the defensive line, does an Akeem Spence continue to play a lot? And does he make a run at the last spot among, you know, the front seven group? Carl Davis started out strong during training camp. You know, is he a guy that is on the bubble today, right, or is he a lock to make the roster? I think about the cornerback position. What if they can't find another player? You know, is there somebody else that that stands out in the game against the Giants that we haven't really seen take a step forward? Or I thought last week, for example, Jawan Williams helped himself. I thought Jawan Williams played better last week. I think he's so been too. Better the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure how much we'll see of him Sunday against the Giants, but that's a guy that, you know, if he has another good day, you know, maybe they feel confident with, hey, him on the outside and Mills inside if we've got to deal with Jonathan Jones. You know, will Wade get thrown into the fire now that they've acquired him from Baltimore? The tight end position, you know, it looks like we're not going to see Lacoste at this point. I'm not sure we're going to see the regulars on offense, period. I don't know, because of the snaps the guys got in the heat today. It being a Wednesday, there might be enough time for them to get out there on Sunday, but I think that's all a mystery. But, you know, if we see a situation where the Patriots, you know, line up with an Asiasi and a Jakob Johnson the way we did last week, does that change whether they keep three tight ends or the fourth tight end if they feel confident enough that Jakob can play in that spot? I mean, I think there's a number of positions in groups like that where I think the numbers in one are going to be affected by numbers in another, and the versatility of players who might be able to help cover for them early in the season when they're dealing with some injuries or you know, some shortcomings that they really can't address in the next week or two.
Bob Soucy, thank you so much for joining us today for more of his coverage of training camp at Bob Soucy. I just want to let everybody know this podcast won't be ending with the end of training camp. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to look like in the regular season yet, but it will be at least once a week, maybe twice a week, a game preview, game review, beginning of the week, end of the week, as it were. But make sure you subscribe on, you know, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we're not ending it here. Format's going to change. We're not ending the show. And Bob, we'll definitely have you back on as well during the regular season. But thank you again for joining us today.
Hey Alex, I appreciate it. Let me add a couple of other names just very quickly.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
But the Giants game, because it just occurred to me as you were signing off, J.C. Jackson really had a great game against the Giants a few years ago when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And I wonder too, like on Sunday night, are we going to see some guys that we think are locks to make this team play extensively, either to showcase them for other teams or because they're on the bubble? I mean, I don't know if they're going to treat this game the same way they would have treated the fourth game in the past.
I know
you're going to recap it after the fact with the continuing podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, and that's been part of the intrigue of this preseason, is not just the roster itself, but it's so new with the three games and kind of just not knowing how they'll approach that. And different teams have approached it differently. And I think it's been a ton of fun to watch that.
And it's been a ton of fun to talk about it with you.
I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you very much.